shave my badge for this? I shave my badge.
Yes!
For this right now.
I shave my badge for this.
I actually did shave my badge for this. Welcome back, everyone, to I Shave My Badge for This. I'm your friend, Katie Thompson, and I'm back with my badass gynecologist, Dr. Roxanne Perro. And as always, we're bringing some serious heat. This episode, it comes in the form of an alien vaginal object and reproductive hell it might create for your insides. Tell them, Perro!
You're crazy, and I love it. There's plenty of pregnancy preventive strategies out there, some of which we covered last season, but this one specifically is popular right now when it comes to prevention and overall body awareness.
To me, IUDs have always sounded too good to be true. By the way, that's the alien object we were referring to. I know you're on pins and needles. We're talking about the IUD. That thing you shove up there and pretend like your body is going to naturally acclimate.
So, all right, Katie.
It does. It sounds too good to be true. And it also sounds like in some cases, it is too good to be true. So we're going to get into those details later. IUDs are great. They are preventatives. And don't get me wrong, it's safer than pull out. Or my personal favorite, which is side eye and like like a dolphin, an abstinent dolphin. It's a move and it works 100% of the time. Okay, so shall we?
Let's do it.
This episode, we're getting real about all things IUD.
Baby.
What's my motherfucking name?
That my IUD.
Hell yeah, I'm up here bringing you pain.
But the doctor told me.
Favorite one. It's my favorite one.
Let me guess, they said go have sex, it ain't no big thing.
And now you're really hurting.
But at least you don't have no baby gain. Holla!
I don't know. That last line I had to really reach. I think I was...
Oh, that was a tired. Spontaneous moment. I was not supposed to be singing.
Yeah, but look at us naturally. It's just all unfolding as it should. Quite an organic parody.
You are negatively rubbing off on me. I should not want to do this.
It was a charming, you were on key, okay? It was very sweet. You didn't have to growl. You weren't the object inside of someone's vag. So I think you've come out ahead.
Oh my gosh, we're going to learn it's in your uterus, not your vag.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, it's all the same. But there has to be more information provided up front. So when women are navigating their choices in the room, they can make an informed decision and they can understand what to watch for when it comes to normal side effects versus what is absolutely not at all okay.
Exactly. I think especially coming off of the heels of the long COVID discussion and not knowing what all the signs, symptoms, risk factors were for the preventive strategies for COVID that we don't like to talk about. A lot of women with IUDs are wondering if new body awareness symptoms are related to the device that they had placed for pregnancy prevention. Now, my personal experience with the IUD, and I think that this story really is a testament to how much I've evolved personally as well as professionally. And I think the takeaway from me telling this story and for listeners out there is that we all need to make decisions purposefully and for our own individual reproductive health. Annoy your doctor, ask all the questions, the pros, cons, risk, benefits, and really do an analysis of a risk-benefit ratio.
Absolutely.
For you.
Be your own advocate.
Yes, 100%. So for me at that time, I was turning 40, and the thought of getting knocked up scared the absolute shit out of me.
Rightfully so.
I mean, here we are, Colin and I, my husband, spending the better half of our 30s trying to get pregnant, and now...
Say it. Come on. It's right there. It's right there at the tip.
And now I'm willing to shove anything up there and to not get pregnant. So
amen.
That was my main priority, preventing pregnancy to the nth degree without surgery for either of us. And the IUD fit the bill. I mean, I chose the progesterone releasing IUD because I bought into that quote unquote, you don't have to have a period propaganda. I was selling to my own patients without really being mindful of why we actually do need and want to have a period every month. I was like, period days, ain't nobody got time for that.
And then your organs were like, wah.
So Mirena was the OG for hormonal IUDs. So I went with that one over at the time. The Skyla was the only one available. Since then, Kylena and Lyletta have come on the market, and we're going to do some deep dives into all of these little T-shaped buggers, including the non-hormonal copper IUD.
Awesome. The goal is never to feel like jaw rules inside of you. I mean, that's funny. It's not what I meant, but it's funny.
Oh my God. Who inside me is the goal?
Some nice singing J-Lo woman. All right, let's get started. Roxanne, why is this method so popular? Walk us through the selection criteria and the process for getting an IUD. Let's start with the basics.
Yes, IUDs are, honestly, they're an amazing invention. They're highly effective because if placed properly, it removes the human error out of the equation for pregnancy prevention. You don't have to remember to take a pill. You don't have to rely on your man to put on a condom. You don't have to go to the doctor to get an injection or a refill on your vaginal ring. So it eliminates essentially what is called the typical use rate of pregnancy. And that rate is actually in line with the IUD's perfect use pregnancy rate, which is less than 1%. So when you compare this to the typical use rate for birth control pills versus its perfect use rate, the typical use pregnancy rate is about 7% compared to if you perfectly use it would be 1%. Especially in our current reproductive rights climate, women want and need to feel the most protected against an unplanned pregnancy and preserve their fertility until they're ready. And IUDs have been touted as the best options out there for that peace of mind.
Right. It's low maintenance and high performing.
Absolutely, yeah. And most women with insurance can get an IUD at pretty much no cost to them, which is a huge positive because that's no copay birth control for 3 to 10 years, depending on which IUD you have placed and how long you end up keeping it in. Now, not all insurance plans will cover all IUDs, so that is sometimes a big asterisk when you're thinking about which IUD options are available to you specifically. Make sure your insurance plan covers the one that you're falling in love with.
Which is so confusing. It's like, it's not even in the charts.
Yeah, yeah.
They're talking about your dental visits, and you're like, but can you let me know if my copper IUD is accepted or not?
It's insane. Insurance is crazy. And I mean, and if you don't have insurance though, or you have one of those church-related ones that don't cover birth control because you're not supposed to be having sex until you're married, then if you want to pay for one of those IUDs, it can run between $400 and $1,000 cash up front. And that's just for the device. You have to factor in the doctor visit and possibly an ultrasound. You know, IUDs appeal to women that want no hormones or low hormones in their bodies if they've had a negative experience with pills or something that releases hormones in a more whole body / systemic type of way. But there are always risks that come with the benefits of anything in life, right?
So listen, we're all very busy. We have stressful days in our lives. Sometimes though, you do want to just add a little bit more on top and lob in a pregnancy. So an IUD is something that you can choose that is easily reversible, right? And you don't have as much time to wait to make sure that your organs are ready to go.
I don't know what that means, but yes, it is reversible.
It's gyno by proxy's definition of the body. So anyway, call me if you need any more advice. If you're interested in an IUD though, how do you decide which of the 5 on the market right now is right for you?
Okay, let's break them down one by one and how they're different. So first, let's start off with the non-hormonal copper IUD. Brand name is called Paragard. So how it works, the copper component of the Paragard is a sperm saboteur.
Basically the warrior princess of IUDs.
It kills sperm, plain and simple. Yeah. It's approved for placement for up to 10 years. Cons is that about 40 to 50% of women experience heavy bleeding or bleeding in between their periods or were bothered enough by prolonged bleeding that it led to them wanting the IUD out earlier than the 10-year mark. The copper IUD is not a great option for women already dealing with heavy flow or have a diagnosis of anemia, which is low blood count. And also there are, you know, some women that have a diagnosis of what's called Wilson's disease, which prevents people from being able to break down copper efficiently. So that's a huge contraindication. If I have a good candidate for a Paragard IUD, I try to counsel women on the possibilities of heavier flow that usually subsides after the first year and just make sure that they're having close follow-up to help keep them motivated to continue with it.
would you get some kind of blood test to make sure that your levels are stable?
Great question. There's really not great blood tests for checking copper levels. Ideal is a provoked urine test or a hair test, which not many people want to lose some hair and then
I've got get plenty. Quick, take my right strand. Okay.
But a basic blood test just to check for anemia, absolutely. That should be done as part of a screening just to make sure you're a good candidate for the Paragard, for sure.
All right, good to know.
Next one are our progesterone, which is a hormone containing IUDs. And specifically, they all have one type of progesterone in them called levonorgestrel. So these contain a synthetic progesterone. It's not natural. It's synthetic that thickens your cervical mucus. I hate that word, mucus in the vagina.
Nasty.
Right? It's your like cervical fluid.
It's like waiting to sneeze.
So your cervical mucus at times in your cycle blocks sperm from entering your uterus. So the progesterone is going to continuously thicken your cervical mucus to block sperm. They also inhibit or stop sperm movement to make it harder for sperm to reach and fertilize an egg. And they also thin the uterine lining so an egg is less likely to want to come into the uterus.
It's crazy. It's kind of like quicksand or something, you know? It starts swimming and then didn't see that one coming and it gets swirled up in the mucus, right?
A slip and slide, yeah.
Yeah.
For some women, especially early on in post-placement, these IUDs can prevent ovulation or release of an egg. So we'll get into why you really need to get all the facts on how these work, because if you don't want something to mess with your hormones, these can absolutely cause inconsistent ovulation some months, not ovulation other months. And obviously, if you're not ovulating, then your hormones are getting out of whack.
Yeah, that's not ideal. Okay, so if I get this IUD and then I'm just moody, can I blame it on the hormonal imbalance that my body is adjusting to and then get away with being an asshole? Because that is another good return on investment. Always seeking an excuse.
You're way too much this episode. Oh my gosh. We will get into the potential side effects of these IUDs, but let's first go through then those subtypes of progesterone releasing IUDs.
Okay. So yes.
Bayer Pharmaceutical has three available IUD offerings. The Mirena IUD, which I said was the OG, the one that I use. It's approved for birth control for up to 10 years. It's also the first and only hormone releasing IUD that is FDA approved to treat heavy periods up to 5 years. So women that are having, you know, really heavy periods who do have anemia, who are at risk of needing a blood transfusion, this may be a viable option for short term just to get bleeding to stop so that they prevent needing a blood transfusion or a serious surgery. The other one is a Kylena, K-Y-L-E-E-N-A.
Ooh, I like her.
Right? That's a pretty name. Mm-hmm. It is approved for birth control use up to 5 years. And then Skyla is approved for contraceptive use up to 3 years. So the Mirena is slightly bigger in size compared to the Kylena. And same with the Kylena compared to the Skyla. But in my opinion, size doesn't really matter a whole lot when getting these bad boys placed. I mean, it's, as we'll talk about, it's not the most comfortable thing regardless of how big or small the IUDs are.
So it's about length of stay.
Right. So the Mirena is 1.26 inches in length, Kylena is 1.18, and Skyla is 1.18 as well. So
negligible difference.
Right. The other IUD is Lyletta, which has the same dosage and type of progestin as the Mirena IUD. It's the same size as the Mirena IUD, and it's approved for up to 8 years as well. Really, the only difference is that it's made by AbbVie Pharma, and it does not have the FDA use approval for reducing heavy flow.
So what's the average uterus size out there?
Good
question.
As we're all wondering how much
we measure.
Yes, the average uterine size is about 1.06 inches.
So no matter what, that bad boy's stretching to accept it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good news. I have a tight uterus. What? Who even says that? So I've got my Skyla IUD ordered, headed to the doctor. Listen, don't be jealous. I know you're laughing over there. You're feeling nervous and jealous, it's the truth. Thank you, by the way. You did that last season. We talked about it. Anyway, so I'm headed to my doctor, getting my Skyla IUD placed. How do I prepare for it?
So likely you'll get a phone call initially from the nurse telling you your IUD is in. Yay!
And congratulations.
We have your device, preferred device of torture.
We're about to fuck you up in the inside, but you won't get pregnant. Come on in.
Come on down. You're the next contestant. Okay, so they'll tell you, hey, call with the onset of your next flow to get your IUD placed, which sounds awful on top of awful, but this is really the most ideal time because your cervix is naturally open and it does make the placement, quote unquote, easier, not necessarily less painful. So some women have been told that they don't need to be on their periods, or if you're not having regular periods, that's a whole nother story. But for the most part, advocate for getting it placed when you're on your flow. Plan on not going back to work or school. You ain't got to be no superwoman after you have it placed. Listen to your body after you have it placed. And if you're having an escalated pain reaction, do not leave the doctor's office. You will pass out in the hall, injure yourself. Just lay down for a while after, and that can prevent you from passing out.
So how long do you need to wait before you leave the doctor? Can you take a nap?
I have had some patients that have been there for up to an hour after.
Wow,
you know,
good.
I mean, whatever it takes for me to feel comfortable that they're okay to leave. You
so
know?
You're taking blood pressure.
Yes.
Some of those metrics.
Yes,
before.
Yes. Sometimes I'll get a magazine and just start to fan them.
Oh my God, I'm coming over. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You're like, I got the reflexologist comes in, does right. some toe stretches.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's already just such a vulnerable exam and
100%.
Visit. And you know, I think that you're just such in a state where you're just like, God, you know, I mean, I just want effective birth control and I don't want all the drama around it. So most women are really embarrassed and try to play off themselves like not feeling well. But you really just need to be honest with yourself, because I have seen women pass out and it's not a good.
True or false? I've heard that once you have a baby or three, you have a much wider area, surface area to install. Does that mean it's not going to be as painful? I mean, because we all know childbirth is not easy. So then I'm asking for postpartum women out there that are like, if I have anything shoved up me again, I will kill you.
I will kill you.
So
yeah.
Is there any like reprieve we can offer by giving them a bonus after they've essentially pooped a watermelon?
I will say that from my personal experience, that placement was not as bad as I thought. Now, I just may have amnesia from the whole situation, but I do feel like it wasn't that bad. And I had had three babies come out of my vagina at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
But unfortunately, we've been told that, you know, quote unquote, it's a real quick procedure, or that tissue down there doesn't really have pain receptors. Most women won't be informed about how to deal with the pain if they do experience intense pain, nor be offered pain relief during or after the procedure. So honestly, if you ask most women who have had one of these procedures done, have they experienced zero pain? I guarantee you won't find one. I mean, mine was uncomfortable. I did not have an overcompensated pain response. But, you know, I think at that point, yeah, I tolerated mild to moderate discomfort. You may want pain relief.
Yeah. I mean, the friends that have shared some of their stories, they have all kind of disclosed what their body's response was. And it was because they went in blindly and didn't have
yes.
information about what it could look like. So I think this conversation is so important, just because we know it's not going to be glamorous. It never is down there.
Exactly.
So how can we prevent maybe some of the pain that might come with it?
100%. Yeah. So let's talk about it. So some things that you can do to make the IUD placement less painful. One, talk to your doctor before the procedure, if possible, instead of 5 minutes before it begins. For example, there are different devices used for cervical manipulation that don't necessarily have to be used. So ask your doctor which one they will be using for you. They'll say initially, oh, you'll feel a little quote unquote pinch, and it will feel like, you know, I think we're going about this the wrong way. Like, I don't want to deter anyone from getting an IUD if they really need effective contraception. Because like I said, they're amazing. But again, know what you're getting into, because again, some people will have a lot of pain associated with it and others won't. So 2, ask about any prescription medications that may be helpful prior to the procedure if you have a low pain tolerance. That doesn't make you weak. It means you're aware of your body and what you individually need. And it may not be actual pain medications they offer. There are cervical softening agents that are prescription that can help as well. Take pain-reducing medication. So I usually tell patients ibuprofen 400 to 800 milligrams 1 hour prior to the IUD placement. You do want to factor the wait time in. If your doctor is perpetually 1 to 2 hours late, then
you got to bring backup.
Exactly. Bring backup.
Anything natural that they can incorporate?
Oh, you know it, girl.
All right,
If you're more of a natural intervention type of girl, take white willow bark.
Oh my gosh, she's sexy.
That's amazing. Yeah, 200 to 400 milligrams 1 hour prior to the procedure. Myself and in my functional medicine practice, we actually put chamomile oil on a warm towel and then put a castor oil pack and then we put a warm heated blanket over the abdomen. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And then we give that some time to work and it really helps with placement. And drinking hot green tea is a natural antioxidant that can help to just relax your uterus. Topical CBD over the lower abdomen as well can be really helpful.
What about arnica?
Yeah, that's a great one. Usually takes a little bit longer to work. So I do tell patients, you know, place it 1 hour before, bring it with you as well. So,
okay. So in a perfect world, you could combine maybe a pain relief medication plus some of these more natural.
Yeah, for sure. An oral and a topical, great combos. Yeah.
Okay, Roxanne, this is great. This is only part 1 of our IUD conversation.
Yep.
Next episode, we're going to talk about what to look for after the appointment, hours, days, months, things that are definitely irregular and would require a doctor to intervene at some point. But for this episode, I think this was hugely informative, right?
Absolutely.
Now we know all the categories of IUDs. We know how to prepare for the appointment. We can take the approach of a medicinal treatment ahead of time and then also some of the holistic approaches that you mentioned.
Yes.
Like chamomile tea. Oh my God.
Yeah,
Put that, lather that on there all day long. I don't even care.
If you do decide that an IUD is the best option for preventing pregnancy for you, you know what questions to ask and what to expect. And yeah, I'm excited about the next episode because then we'll talk about how you can remedy as well some of these side effects that an IUD may cause for you.
Right. It's a long-term investment and it's high performing, but you don't want to lose your uterus as part of that.
On that note, did I shave my vag for this?
I did not, but it was 2 days ago, and I feel confident about my waxing session planned for later. It's swimsuit season, y'all. Okay, time to do it.
The podcast series I Shaved My Vag for This and all associated online content is produced by Dr. Roxanne Perro and Kate Thompson in conjunction with ISMV LLC for entertainment, educational, and informational purposes only.
The opinions expressed herein are the personal views of Dr. Perro and her guests, do not represent the views or opinions of anyone else, and all facts and information presented are believed to be accurate at the time and should not be construed as specific medical, health, legal, financial, tax, or any other professional advice.